to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Welcome to another edition of American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner, and it's the 14th of September, 2004. We do the best we can in these situations that we are dealt with, building towards a totalitarian one-world government dictatorship. That's what this is all about, doing this. The sad commentary about our country is very apparent. As I look in the front page, Ivan gained strength. From Florida to Louisiana, many people are fleeing. We were going to have Darren tonight, who's we were going to work on some weather modification information, but he had some prior unexpected commitments, could not do tonight's broadcast with me. But certainly this is front page news. This third weather anomaly down there, and we see F-15 fighter jets from the 1st Fighter Squadron and the 2nd Fighter Squadron and the 95th Fighter Squadron from Tyndall Air Force Base line the taxi line at Tinker Air Force Base on Monday. The jets were evacuated out of the Florida Panhandle base ahead of the possible arrival of Hurricane Ivan, and certainly there's reason to do that. What can I say? We have a pretty extensive weather modification section on the website, AmericanExpose.com. It is very amazing that this is so in your face at this point in time. I've heard on the news that the hurricanes are going to be continuing in Florida, which is going to depopulate that state and other states nearby, maybe. Is this under the guise of creating sustainable communities? How do you document that, people? That is the situation. Now, I haven't looked at today's paper, so I thought I'd kind of thumb through it real quickly here. The network needs financing. I need financing. I checked the P.O. box last week, and there's just a handful of you that are supporting this broadcast, and I do appreciate what you're doing very deeply. As my situation is, why do I want to talk about me, you know? I don't. I've never wanted to talk about me in my situation when I come on the air. But I do need funding. If those that did that already would do that once a month, that would be most appreciated. And if I could get 10 more to do the same thing to the tune of $100 a month, that would be beneficial. But keep in mind, you have to fund the network too. Whatever you donate to me, try and donate the same to the network. And this is a report I have about that situation, and obviously this is a situation that needs to be addressed, keeping this rolling. But I do deeply appreciate the directions that you sent me, and I check the P.O. box once a month around the first part of the month, and thank you very much for those donations. Most appreciated, and try if you can to do it as often as you can each month, and a few others would be most appreciated. And the network. I'm kind of thumbing through the paper. We're going to cover Executive Order 12803, as I stated we were going to do when I left on Thursday. But I want to see what kind of propaganda is presented here today in the paper. I've seen Tommy Thompson, a picture of him at the Republican National Convention, giving the communist clenched fist salute. And that is just so in your face. Everybody seems to use it today. Everybody seems to use all sorts of sign language. And they really don't know what they're dealing with. They don't know what they're saying, because they don't have the education and the knowledge about what their finger symbols state. And certainly that's a sad, sad commentary that we have. But yes, we've been dumbed down. We've been drugged down. We've been put into a state of ignoration. And here we see in the paper, as I thumb through it, doing the broadcast tonight, right now, U.S. shown falling behind in number of diplomas. Nation 10th in report on 30 countries. The United States is falling behind other countries in having a high school educated public, with the gap widening the most among young adults. A new comparison of the industrialized nation shows. Now, where do you think this report is coming from? Well, let's see. A total of 87% of U.S. adults aged 25 to 34 have finished high school, which puts the country 10th behind such nations as Korea, Norway, the Czech Republic, and Japan. The older population, the better the United States fares. It remains first at high school completion among older adults, and fifth among adults 35 to 44. But other nations are making fast gains among younger adults and passing the United States on the way. Quote, they're catching up with you in the proportion that finish school, the proportion that go to college, end quote, said Barry McGaw, Director of Education for the Paris-based Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, which develops the yearly rankings. So there it is. The Paris-based Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. You better believe that's an NGO of the United Nations system. Look it up if you want. I would suggest you do so. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Quote, the one area you remain ahead is how much you spend, end quote, McGaw told U.S. reporters Monday. quote, they don't need to catch up with you on quality because many of them are already ahead, end quote. Although titled Education at a Glance, their yearly report has ballooned into a 450-page compilation measuring 30 countries. It relies mostly on data from 2002 and 2001, although its achievement figures date to 2000. Organizers call those the most current numbers available. Well, we're dealing with the dumbing down process. It all makes sense. According to the paper, the United States hosts the most foreign college students. Well, that fits. 30% of the total enrolled in this country are foreign students. That's under the guise of the State Department's United States mission to the United Nations. Research it for yourself. The average U.S. adult, age 25 to 64, has spent 12.7 years in school. The average is 11.8 years among industrialized nations. The United States has a higher dropout rate among students seeking their first college degrees. The U.S. dropout rate is 34%. The average rate of other countries is 30%. Starting salaries for primary teachers in the United States are the fourth highest of the countries compared, behind Denmark, Germany, and Switzerland. The United States finished near the top in fourth grade reading performance. Mini comparison of nine countries. While four countries showed increases from 1991 to 2001, the U.S. performance was unchanged. The United States spends more per student on all levels of education, $10,871, and that's more than any other country. And yet, we're dealing with people that can't even read when they go to college, and they have to have remedial reading when they go to college. That's pretty amazing, I'd say. Pretty remarkable. But it all fits. And you have this source of redirecting jobs below the border and overseas. I stated today on the Discount Gold and Silver Hour that I do Tuesday and Thursday at 3 o'clock Central Time on WBCQ for Melody Cederstrom, who has the Monday night broadcast on the first hour. I hope you support her and what she's doing. I was talking about the negotiating group on the movement of natural persons. It's part of the World Trade Organization, the negotiating group on the movement of natural persons. Write that down, do a search on that, see if you come up with anything. I have not done so. That's the negotiating group on the movement of natural persons. In other words, if the jobs disappear in this country, if we have to work, maybe we'll have to move to another country. And it's apparent through various sources that Prince Charles wants to make this his personal park, this country. And that is only seeming to make sense as we pay attention to what's really being done. Also in the paper, Putin wants changes in Russia. President, there you have, president. Every country has a president for our consumption because we've been dumbed down, the dumbing down process in the schools where they don't really teach the Constitution any longer. Or they teach it at a very limited respect. But yet every country has a president. That was never the case. It was always a premier or a dictator or something else, but never a president. This is for our consumption as the dumbing down process continues in this country. So it states that Vladimir Putin, who's the president, Monday demanded an overhaul of Russia's political system, including an end to the direct popular election of governors, saying the changes were needed to combat terrorism. Now, is this event in Russia a staged event? I would not trust anything that comes out of Russia, as they only changed their name from the Soviet Union to the Russian Federation, to make us all feel comfortable. I would say that our military and Russia's military will ally in the future, possibly to attack Iran or somewhere else. This article continues. Critics charge the Russian leader was using the bloody outcome of the Beslan school siege to grab more power. The former KGB spy called for creation of a powerful anti-terrorism agency, quote, capable of not only dealing with terror attacks, but also working to avert them, destroy criminals in their hideouts, and, if necessary, abroad, end quote. That's a statement and a half. About 430 people have been killed in terrorist attacks in Russia over the last 3 weeks, including 330 people in the bloody end of the school siege in Beslan in southern Russia. Isn't that amazing? We've been allied with Russia since 1995 to work for to fight international terrorism. Our KGB, I mean, our FBI and their KGB, which is the Federal Security Services now, and Putin is a former KGB spy, according to this article. Isn't that amazing? The KGB. Russia is certainly no different than the Soviet Union in its outcome of what the direction is. Wouldn't we like to interview some people from Russia that could really speak the language and give us the facts of what's going on over there? Absolutely amazing. Putin said he would propose legislation abolishing the election of local governors. Instead they would be nominated by the president and confirmed by local legislators or legislatures. Okay, so that fits into what we're doing here in this country, eliminating elected officials and being incorporated into the appointed official situation that we have in our country today. The sheriff is the last elected official in law enforcement that I know of, and he has less and less power, and he's cooperating more and more with the federal government in various parts of the country because they are ignorant. They don't have a clue. The dumbing down process has been very, very apparent in this respect too. The standards of police officers was dropped back in the 80s, I believe. The LAPD, the Los Angeles Police Department, was the premier police organization at one time, and they were ordered to drop their standards. And that has created a lot of chaos and problems in the past. Officers taking bribes, things like this. Corruption in the department. And, you know, when you connect the dots to everything that goes on in this country, without dealing with the UN system and the State Department and these treaties that have been created to make the police to not ask whether you're legal or not to be in this country. And then they promote that there's going to be another terrorist event. The next terrorist event. Well, certainly there's going to be another terrorist event because they've allowed it to happen. They want it to happen. Though who's they? Those in charge? If you can name some names, let me know. And you can email me. You know how to do that. Go to my website, AmericanExpose.com, and you can email me your thoughts. As the board operator is not here tonight, Aaron, and you know, it's a skeleton crew, so to speak. And the point is, there's no profit here. There's no way to get sponsors. There's no move to expand because there's just not enough people working together to make this happen. And I understand. Anyway, this article, Putin Wants Changes in Russia, is very incriminating. And I stated before that former mayor of New York, Rudy Giuliani, stated that this terrorist event in Russia is going to bring our countries closer together. That is what it's all about. That is what this is about. under the guise of terrorism. We're going to work together with Russia to fight terrorism. That is the perfect scenario to bring us together. Which was planned for in State Department Publication 7277 from 1961. Our military and Russia's military would work hand in hand to fight international terrorism. Well, that wasn't what it said. They would work hand in hand to police the world. State Department Publication 7277. And it would be the UN system that would be strengthened, ultimately, to make this happen. Well, it's 2004, going on 2005. It's all coming into place. It all seems to work, people. And there you have it. This is what it's all about. So, we were going to cover Executive Order 131. Actually, it's 13107. That's the executive order of implementation of human rights treaties. The other one that's always on my mind is Executive Order 12803, Infrastructure Privatization. And this is rather lengthy, but I think you need to hear it, dated April 30th, 1992. Quite a statement and a half. And we'll do that upon my return. Once again, Executive Order 12803, I would suggest paying attention to it. I think it's very draconian what it was done, how it was done during the Rodney King riots of 1992, as Officer Powell and Officer Kuhn were exonerated for the beating of Rodney King. I'm not sure how that all came about, but the tape never did lie, did it? That's the situation. The riots were instigated and directed by Mayor Tom Bradley. At the time, I saw him do it. But at the same time, when the National Guard was called up for Los Angeles, which was actually being taken care of anyway, they didn't need the National Guard. They didn't even have any ammunition for their weapons, it was reported. But infrastructure privatization came about, this executive order, and it states that by the authority vested in me as the president, by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, and in order to ensure that the United States achieves the most beneficial economic use of its resources, it is hereby ordered as follows. And very important to pay attention to Section 1, which is entitled Definitions. I'll tell you, this is so draconian, and most people don't pay a bit of attention to this. But for the purpose of this order, A, privatization means the disposition or transfer of an infrastructure asset. You got to pay attention to this. This is very lengthy, and I'm not going to repeat very much of it. Once again, A, privatization means the disposition or transfer of an infrastructure asset, such as by sale or by long-term lease, from a state or local government to a private party. Mm-mm. B, infrastructure asset means any asset financed in whole or in part by the federal government and needed for the functioning of the economy. Examples of such assets include, but are not limited to, roads, tunnels, bridges, electricity, supply facilities, mass transit, rail transportation, airports, ports, waterways, water supply facilities, recycling and wastewater treatment facilities, solid waste disposal facilities, housing, schools, prisons, and hospitals. C. Originally authorized purposes means the general objectives of the original grant program. However, the term is not intended to include every condition required for a grantee to have obtained the original grant. Now, what the hell does that mean? And this does have to be repeated. Number C, originally authorized purposes. Originally authorized purposes means the general objectives of the original grant program. However, the term is not intended to include every condition required for a grantee to have obtained the original grant. D, transfer price means, and it goes as this, I, the amount paid or to be paid by a private party for an infrastructure asset if the asset is transferred as a result of competitive bidding, or double I, the appraised value of an infrastructure asset as determined by the head of the executive department or agency and the director of the Office of Management and Budget if the asset is not transferred as a result of competitive bidding. E, we're still in definitions. State and local governments means the government of any state of the United States, the District of Columbia, any commonwealth, territory, or possession of the United States, and any county, municipality, city, town, township, local public authority, school district, special district, intrastate district, regional or interstate governmental entity, council of governments, and any agency or instrumentality of a local government and any federally recognized Indian tribe. Section 2, fundamental principles. Executive departments and agencies shall be guided by the following objectives and principles. A, adequate and well-maintained infrastructure is critical to economic growth. Consistent with the principles of federalism enumerated in Executive Order Number 12612, and in order to allow the private sector to provide for infrastructure modernization and expansion, state and local governments should have greater freedom to privatize infrastructure assets. B, private enterprise and competitively driven improvements are the foundation of our nation's economy and economic growth. Federal financing of infrastructure assets should not act as a barrier to the achievement of economic efficiencies through additional private market financing or competitive practices or both. That's a mouthful. C, state and local governments are, well, let's just stop there and repeat. B, private enterprise and competitively driven improvements are the foundation of our nation's economy and economic growth. Federal financing of infrastructure assets should not act as a barrier to the achievement of economic efficiencies through additional private market financing or competitive practices or both. We'll continue with this. Executive Order 12803, infrastructure privatization, which sells the farm to anybody that has the funding to do so. And I think you'll get the picture upon my return.
what in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first, and on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Can a fish blush? The answer is next on today's Creation Moment. Here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
There are many types of animals which help each other. It's called altruism, even though sometimes one of the animals often eats the other one. Different kinds of animals that help each other pose a serious problem for those who deny an all-wise creator. Evolution has lots of reasons why natural enemies would not cooperate with each other, but consider the example of the yellow-tailed goatfish. The yellow-tailed goatfish is mostly a white fish which swims in small schools. They often cruise around the reefs where the yellow French angelfish live. The angelfish hide from the goatfish and others who might eat them. However, the goatfish are often bothered by parasites which lodge in their scales and gills. And when this happens, the goatfish swim to the reef in which the angelfish live, and they blush a bright red rust color. And when this happens, the angelfish knows that the goatfish has not come for lunch, but he's come to be cleaned. So the angelfish swims out and cleans the goatfish of his uncomfortable and unhealthy parasites. And when the goatfish is clean, he stops blushing and swims off to leave the angelfish in peace. Is it possible that our wise Creator has provided for the needs of his creatures in a way which would provide these unexplained mysteries for those who want to explain things without him? We think so. We think this is one of the ways in which his glory, power, and wisdom is made evident to those who do not want to admit an intelligent creator.
For a printed transcript of today's program, visit our website at creationmoments.com. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and following the instructions there to support us, or call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
PokerFace.com is their website. Very good stuff. PokerFace.com is their website. Executive Order 12803 from April 30th, 1992. We continue under C. State and local governments are in the best position to assess and respond to local needs. State and local governments should subject to assuring continued compliance with federal requirements, oh boy, that public use be on reasonable and non-discriminatory terms, have maximum feasible freedom to make decisions concerning the maintenance and disposition of their federally financed infrastructure assets. Okay, D. User fees are generally more efficient than general taxes as a means to support infrastructure assets. That's a statement and a half. User fees are generally more efficient than general taxes as a means to support infrastructure assets. Privatization transactions should be structured so as not to result in unreasonable increases in changes to users. Amazing. Number, Section 3. Privatization Initiative is the title of Section 3. Privatization Initiative. To the extent permitted by law, the head of each executive department and agency shall undertake the following actions. A. Review those procedures affecting the management and disposition of federally financed infrastructure assets owned by state and local governments, and modify those procedures to encourage appropriate privatization of such assets consistent with this order. B. Assist state and local governments in their efforts to advance the objectives of this order. And C. Approve state and local governments' request to privatize infrastructure assets consistent with the criteria in Section 4 of this order, and where necessary, grant exceptions to the disposition requirements of the Uniform Administrative Requirements for Grants and Cooperative Agreements to state and local governments. That's a statement and a half. Oh, geez. I hope you can follow along this this direction. I do hope you can, because this is quite a lengthy executive order. Let me start again with C, because I missed quoting a section. Approve state and local governments' request to privatize infrastructure assets consistent with the criteria of Section 4 of this order, and where necessary, grant exceptions to the disposition requirements of the, quote, Uniform Administrative Requirements for Grants and Cooperative Agreements to State and Local Governments, end quote, Common Rule, or other relevant rules or regulations for infrastructure assets, provided that the transfer price shall be distributed as paid in the following manner. And here we go with I again, and double I. I, state and local governments, shall first recoup in full the unadjusted dollar amount of their portion of total project cost, including any transaction and fix-up cost they incur associated with the infrastructure asset involved. Double I, if proceeds remain, then the federal government shall recoup in full the amount of federal grant awards associated with the infrastructure asset, less the applicable share of accumulated depreciation in such assets, calculated using the Internal Revenue Service accelerated depreciation schedule for the categories of assets in question. And triple I, finally, the state and local governments shall keep any remaining proceeds. Section 4, criteria. To the extent permitted by law, the head of an executive department or agency shall approve a request in accordance with Section 3C of this order only if the grantee, A, agrees to use the proceeds described in Section 3C triple I of this order only for investment in additional infrastructure assets after public notice of the proposed investment, or for debt or tax reduction, and B, demonstrates that a market mechanism, legally enforceable agreement, or regulatory mechanism will ensure that, and here we go with I again, the infrastructure asset or assets will continue to be used for their originally authorized purposes as long as needed for those purposes, even if the purchaser becomes insolvent or is otherwise hindered from fulfilling the originally authorized purposes. And double I, user charges will be consistent with any current federal conditions that protect users and the public by limiting the charges. Section 5, government-wide coordination and review. In implementing Executive Order Numbers 12291 and 12498 and OMB Circular Number A-19, the Office of Management and Budget, to the extent permitted by law and consistent with the provisions of those authorities, shall take action to ensure that the policies of the Executive Department and agencies are consistent with the principles, criteria, and requirements of this order. The Office of Management and Budget shall review the results of implementing this order and report therein to the President 1 year after the date of this order. Two more sections to go, and then we're done. Section 6, preservation of existing authority. Nothing in this order is in any way intended to limit any existing authority of the heads of executive departments and agencies to approve privatization proposals that are otherwise consistent with law. In Section 7, judicial review, this order is intended only to improve the internal management of the executive branch and is not intended to create any right or benefit, substantive or procedural, enforceable by a party against the United States, its agencies or instrumentalities, its officers or employees, or any other person. Signed, George Bush, April 30th, 1992. There's another executive order here that is worthy of your hearing as well. Although there's no number attached to it, so what it is evidently a statement by Press Secretary Fitzwater on the President's meeting with President Richard von Weizsäcker of Germany, same date, April 30, 92. And it states that the President met for approximately 1 hour with President Richard von Weizsäcker of Germany, who is in the U.S. on a state visit. The discussion focused on the nature of the new partnership between the U.S. and United Germany. The President stressed our intention, and get this, to maintain a strong presence in Europe, along with the importance of NATO and the North Atlantic Cooperation Council. He also reiterated our support for reforms and controlling nuclear weapons in Russia and the other republics. President Bush said it was important to reach an agreement on GATT soon, and that he looked forward to addressing these and other issues at the upcoming G7 meeting in Munich. Isn't that amazing? This is April 30th, 1992. GATT was passed in 1994. And what do we have out of that? The World Trade Organization. And what do we have out of that? The Negotiating Group on the Movement of Natural Persons. Ah, incredible. Now, how far are we into this globalist system? Well, how about the Forest Service? There's international programs with the Forest Service. And the Forest Service is part of the USDA. What is the USDA? The U.S. Department of Agriculture. And I covered this on the shortwave broadcast today, but I want you to hear it because this is so important. We are the U.N. system. This is my point. We're the leader of the U.N. system. It's in New York City. The State Department implements the system. Executive Order 13107 of December 10th, 1998 mandated government agencies work with this human rights system. The executive order I covered from 1970, it's not in front of me right now, that Richard Nixon signed, demanding government agencies work for the international system. Well, under this information from the U.S. Forest Service, from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, they deal with fire management. And it's pretty amazing. The USDA Forest Service cooperates with Brazil, Russia, Mexico, and Indonesia to better understand the influence of fire on forest management and climate change, to incorporate fire mitigation strategies into forest management systems. In Africa, Ghana, U.S. Forest Service, and Guyanan collaborators on fire management. We can access that. You can access this. Fire management suppression and mobilization in Indonesia. That's Asia and the Pacific. Latin America and the Caribbean. In Brazil, they have an aircraft campaign, fire impacts on the atmosphere, air quality impacts on forest health, fire risk assessment and behavior, fire and reduced impact harvesting systems, measuring air quality and impact on human health. Makes you all feel nice and comfortable and cozy about the UN system, I would say. In Bolivia, they have fire management and research. In Mexico, fire prevention and restoration programs, fire ecology and the fire management network, partnerships in southern and northern Mexico, U.S.-Mexico sister forests, Coronado National Forest and the state of Sonora. Also, the U.S.-Mexico sister forest, Cleveland National Forest and the state of Baja California Norte.
Hey, Chris?
Yes.
Hey, I snuck in the back door.
Yeah, great.
Hey, can we back up to the last executive order?
Sure.
I saw this coming down in 1991. California had some kind of an arrangement where it authorized the purchase of infrastructure. It was under Wilson.
Governor Wilson?
Yeah, Governor Wilson.
Uh-huh.
And I passed that information around to my libertarian friends, and they all just kind of shook their shoulders and said, oh, well, what's, you know, so what?
Kind of normal, isn't it?
Basically authorized the sale of our highways and various things. And it didn't state what it was for, but this sounds like this is one of those harmonization arrangements.
Well, it's all dealing with a global structure with foreign entities involving themselves, if they have the money, to do so. It appears to me.
Okay, let's back up to that last executive order, that one that you were reading about before.
12803.
Right. What is your take on that? What does that mean? Because it all sounds like Federal Reserve language.
Well, it means to me that our country is being sold to foreign entities, and we don't know what foreign entities have bought what portions of our country, meaning the infrastructure assets. We don't know how much China owns. We don't know how much Japan owns. And what are they talking about? And that's the strict part of about this infrastructure asset. They're talking about roads, tunnels, bridges, electricity, supply facilities, mass transit, rail transportation, airports, ports, waterways, water supply facilities, recycling and wastewater treatment facilities, solid waste disposal facilities, housing, schools, prisons, and hospitals. I mean,
That's already going on, though.
Well, that was going on before 1992?
No, that's going on today. I'm hearing about this today.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, different water plants around different cities around Cincinnati, Ohio, I think, this water plant is owned by some German consortium or something.
Well, there you go.
But I mean, you know, we talked about this once before. China is... our trade imbalance is, I don't know, $500 billion this year or something like that.
Uh-huh.
What does that mean? I mean, what have we given them? An IOU? I mean, do we have like an accountant just sitting in Washington, D.C. with a set of ledgers and it says, okay, well, China sold U.S. this, so we owe them. And we sold China that, so we owe them. And
you're sort of hitting the nail on the head, aren't you?
Well, it's pretty frightening.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is that what we owe China is maybe being distributed in this country in the name of infrastructure asset. And maybe it's an IOU, maybe it's done legitimately with a contract. How can we get to the bottom of this?
But how the hell can we ever pay for it?
Well,
and pay them what?
We'll pay them by giving them our assets and land.
Well, see, that's the scary part of this whole thing.
Right.
And we have someone in Washington, D.C., namely the father of George Bush, current president, that signed this arrangement at a time that our national, so-called national debt was approaching, $4.5 trillion. Does somebody know something that we, does somebody know something that we don't even understand? I mean, that language, when you went through that, the section this and the wherefores and the thus and all that stuff,
right. That's
crap.
Yeah, it's legalese.
Legal crap. And it's what's scary about that. It's all open for interpretation. Whoever's interpretation decides they want to interpret it.
Now, yeah, and it's emphasizing the fact that, more and more foreigners are owning more and more of this country that we don't know about, and ultimately, where are we going to be in the future? That's the question I keep asking myself. Is certainly I've chronicled the fact that we've been bankrupt as an entity, as a country, since 1933,
at least on paper.
Yes, and it all centers around the Federal Reserve System that we have. Alan Greenspan is a big promoter of global vision, which is part of Agenda 21. All we have is this infrastructure privatization executive order to deal with, and it's full of legalese and wordings that are confusing, and that's the point of reading it verbatim so people can re-listen and try and dissect it to their best ability. But when we have this trade deficit to China like we do, it could very well be that portions of this country are being ceded to China, communist China, in payment for the deficit that's been created. Isn't that what you're thinking about too?
Yeah, and my other question is, what's going to happen to us round eyes anyway?
Well, we might be shipped off to a foreign country to work as slave labor to pay off the debt.
Well,
I don't know.
That's what happened between North Korea and Russia about 18 months ago.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. North Korea owed Russia a certain amount of money for something or other.
Uh-huh.
And what they did is they shipped off, it was like almost 20,000 of their people to go work in Russia to repay this debt.
Gee, I didn't know that.
Well, that was, there wasn't any big secret. It was in the news.
I'll be darned. How long ago was that?
I'd say about 18 months, maybe 2 years ago.
Okay, well, maybe I wasn't on the air.
Well, no, but regardless, that was something. I forget who was reporting that. I think Alex Jones was reporting that.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe someone else. I don't know.
Well, that would stand to reason. And when we're on our knees, maybe we'll have to comply in that direction, too, because they do have the, like I said before, the negotiating group on the movement of natural persons in the World Trade Organization. And we see more and more without jobs today. Wow. It makes it very difficult to present any kind of optimism to anyone when I do radio, you know?
Well, the thing is, it's all so obvious. But just like that Federal Reserve Act, you know, basically if you really got into it back in 1913 and around the 20s on how money could be created, it could be basically created by any farmer that had something that he created. He created potatoes or whatever. And a guy named Byron Dale got involved in that situation. I think it was in the late 70s. He basically took the word for word of how money could be created and it could be brought to him. And, I mean, it's their language, Federal Reserve language, very clear.
Uh-huh.
They didn't know what to do with him. So they beat him up.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it would be very interesting to, I guess they call it counterfeiting, don't they?
Well, it just depends on what side of, if it's legal or not, legal counterfeiting or not.
Uh-huh. Well, it's just one executive order of many that, you know, this federal system has put us into a position of servitude to a certain direction. I don't know where it's going to ultimately end, but You know, they're talking about the next terrorist event. They leave the borders open. The UN treaties allow that to be done. The State Department implements it. I mean, it's all very easy to chronicle. And the fact that foreign entities can buy up portions of this country, where do we ever see an option to buy up portions of this country? We never see it. I don't know. I wish there was a way to find these things out. Wouldn't we like to know?
Well, we're asking questions. That's a start, isn't it?
Yeah. It's falling on deaf ears because those that need to learn and listen aren't doing that. But we do the best we can, don't we?
We sure do. Yeah, I really appreciate your broadcast, Chris.
Well, thanks a lot.
I'll see you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
That was nice. I wonder if you can do that. If you want, maybe that'll work to call in that. Well, I better just leave it alone. I'm not sure what phone number to give out if you want to get involved. But his statements were very well founded. And, you know, at this stage of the game, where do you go from here? You know, it's you've got Bush and Kerry, the lesser of two evils. Anyway, let's get back to this that is so in your face about the U.S. Forest Service from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, how internationalized the Forest Service has become. There's so much going on in these various parts of the world. And let's go to our sister country, Russia. They have the wildland fire management in Bulgaria. And I'm going to bring this up to discuss this a little bit. And I've never been there, but I think it's very, very involving and very important to connect these dots. From the U.S. Department of Agriculture Forest Service, the international programs, Europe and, let's see, Russia and Europe and Eurasia and the Middle East. Wow. Well, we know where to go on the second hour here, listeners. And I think this will awaken you a little further as to how internationalized our government agencies has become. Stay with us.
This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. Are you a believer that is looking for a way to understand Bible prophecy as it pertains to historic as well as current events? Do you believe a one-world government is predicted in the Bible to occur in our day? Do you want to know what the Bible says about the Vatican's role in all of this? Are you one that believes no prophecy of the Bible is of any personal interpretation, as 2 Peter 1:20 declares? And are you also one that understands all the symbols in prophecy are defined accurately in all the books of the Bible? If so, then you are one that would be blessed by the truth provided broadcast. Please join us on Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for an adventure in Bible prophecy. See the prophecies of old come to light in today's current events as well as historic events in our not-so-distant past. You will find information in this broadcast that will benefit you and your family like never before. So please stop by Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on FirstAmendmentRadio.com for the truth provided broadcast.